Welcome to the Business of Cybersecurity, a podcast which is part of the Tech Talks Network. My name's Neil C. Hughes. You may know me from the Tech Talks Daily podcast, which covers a completely different area every episode. And in this series, The Business of Cybersecurity, I explore where security and businesses intersect. I'm going to be joined by John Queeley, Senior Director of Revenue Operations at Clari. And together, we're going to explore how RevOps is quickly becoming the engine room of modern cybersecurity companies. And with attack services widening and AI reshaping go-to market strategies, RevOps is no longer a behind-the-scenes support act of sorts. It's actually a foundation for scaling innovation, fueling product development, and driving trust across every touch point from sales to support and beyond. So today we're going to look at why 67% of enterprise revenue leaders don't trust their data, and how that distrust stifles AI adoption, and what it takes to shift from siloed systems to unified insight. Yep, that utopia. So John is also going to share what companies like Okta are doing to get it right, and why the future of operational excellence is less about flashy AI tools, yep, and more about getting your hands dirty, rolling up your sleeves, and fixing that messy, unglamorous truth that is lurking in your data stack. But enough from me. Time for me to officially introduce you to today's guest. So a massive warm welcome to the show. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I am Clari Senior Director of Revenue Operations, which is probably the most unique role I'm ever going to have in my career. I would like to say most RevOps people are instrumental in how companies operate, but very internally facing. Since revenue operations is one of our key personas, I get to do things like this. I get to talk to all of our customers all the time. I'm going to have my hands dipped in marketing, product, and then the operation side and the field facing side of house. So it is a ton of fun. And I am a RevOps nerd is the only way to say it. I'm pretty highly passionate about what this function does for companies and how it can help companies accelerate their performance overall and just deliver a better client and customer experience at the end of the day.
Fantastic. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast with me. So much I want to be talking with you about, and digging straight into cybersecurity, leaders from Okta to Checkpoint and Fortinet, all been big names that have been on this podcast, but also known for staying ahead of evolving threats. So from your vantage point here, how are these companies innovating revenue operations and technologically to keep pace with this increasingly competitive market? Because it seems to be moving faster and faster.
If anything moves slow these days, someone pointed out to me, because everything is moving quickly. Yeah. And especially companies and cybersecurity companies, how I look at it is the revenue operations aspect isn't necessarily differentiation, but it is so critical. The market competition has increased incredibly. The risk competition and profile and how fast risk are evolving are increasing at an exponential scale at this point with AI coming into the mix. And how do you stay ahead of that curve? Those core missions for all those companies, you need money. It's just kind of that simple. The revenue engine is what drives a company. If you do not have the money to invest into your product, and in this case, in cybersecurity products and the innovation that it requires to stay ahead of the curve, it's not going to work. You will fall behind. So that is why the revenue ops side is so critical, because our primary focus is to make that revenue process more seamless and less expensive, more scalable, so you can take more of the margin and actually put it towards your product. And you can't, you know, in cybersecurity in particular, some vendors you buy for as you're building out your tech stack, no matter your department, you can settle for like, this is good. It doesn't have to be the best. That doesn't exist with cybersecurity. You need the best to stay ahead of the curve, because one incident can have tremendous impacts on your brand, your reputation, and your client base. So you must be the best, and that just requires capital. It's that simple. And that's critical for what we provide as revenue operations for the field to generate that revenue for a company and the margins to help push more to the innovation side of the house.
And as attack methods scale, security firms need to scale their operations accordingly. So, again, from what you're seeing here, what role does innovation, particularly in revenue operations, play in supporting this growth? Because it's often one of those, well, it used to be considered as one of those nice to have pieces, but I think that's changing, thankfully.
It is. I was just talking with the Series A founder the other day who was like, I don't know what to make of this, but I desperately know I need it now, which is completely different than the conversation we would have had probably even 3 years ago. It would never have been the focus. And for me, that critical piece is the RevOps space is innovating drastically. I like to call myself a late in life RevOpser. I did not start my career in RevOps. I started in consulting and banking, and I landed in tech very late in my career. And the space from 4 years ago is completely different than the space today. And I'm darn positive it's going to be completely different in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now. And a lot of that comes down to the role that AI is starting to play. Just for all intents and purposes, I've had my socks blown off by some of the capabilities of vendors as they're showing some of these true AI-based tools. AI 5 years ago was a marketing term. Now it's a reality. Now the tooling and capability is there, and the speed at which everything is operating is increasing. The speed at which prospecting is operating, the speed at which we need everyone in the field to be fully aware of who they're speaking with, AI plays a key role in that from a research perspective. What took hours before to research now takes 5 minutes by typing into a chatbot, and you've got everything you need before you step into an executive meeting. That scale and speed is what's accelerating everything, and the level of personalization that is making for better client conversations to really cut to the root of the issues, not the fluff of the issues. And so with all that intensity, it drives a lot of change management. It gives reps time back at the end of the day. They can close more deals. They can close them more efficiently. And that is a mission for every RevOps individual, is to make that funnel process quicker.
And before you came on the podcast today, I was doing a little research on you, and I also saw that you'd highlighted the importance of operational resilience in the fight against cyber threats. Again, something that's incredibly important. But what would you say are some of the biggest operational challenges in terms of revenue operations that cybersecurity companies face, and how are they overcoming them? Because we read about this stuff, but I think hearing about it and how everyone's got the same problem and how they overcome them, I think that's where the magic happens, right?
It is. So when I joined the tech industry, my biggest shock, and I came from banking. Yeah. So I grew up in an environment, and I cut my data chops in the analytics team at a large bank. And when I went to our production warehouse, everything was good. I could trust it. I didn't question it. I just knew if I was grabbing that element to throw into a model, it was solid, good data. And I haphazardly had the assumption when I joined the tech world, these are all the companies that write this software. Of course, it's all going to be like that again. And I was completely wrong. completely wrong, which actually led me to start a data governance practice at the first tech company I joined, because I got it and realized, oh my gosh, on the product side, that's all true. You have to build that product with governance and scale because it matters. On the business side, everyone's operating in silos. It is the Wild West. And one of the primary purposes of RevOps is to actually be that unification layer. We are the unbiased source of truth. When your VP of marketing is saying something, and your VP of sales is saying something, we get to come in and actually be the arbiter and say, this is reality. This is what the actual data is telling us, not all this other stuff. So that level of intensity still is the root of everything. And as AI is coming into the play to accelerate the analysis on all of this, if you feed AI engines bad data, you're only going to get bad results. 67%, and this is based on a Clary Labs study we did this year, 67% of enterprise revenue leaders do not trust their data. That is staggering. That data is critical to make informed decisions, in particular in the cybersecurity industry, but 67% of revenue leaders don't trust it. Yep, companies are spending in aggregate billions upon billions on these AI tools, but they don't trust their data. If you feed bad data into the AI tool, you're only going to get not great insights. They could be misleading at the end of the day, and you trust them. So how do we fix that entire funnel And that is what I view as one of our primary jobs as RevOps, to get all of the best data across the organization, feed it into this analysis and these models, so you can put the right insight in front of the right person at the right time, so they actually can make the informed decision. That's our goal. And so if you do that, everything starts humming far more efficiently and far more targeted, so you can have more success in the field and actually drive those returns to your bottom line and to that innovation on the tech side for cybersecurity companies.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said the word silos there. And we've got people listening in, what, 160 different countries. And I suspect that is the one thing that unites everyone in this conflicted world right now, because it doesn't matter if you're in a small, medium or large enterprise. Each department is incredibly guarded around their data, who accesses it, who it doesn't. They all just focus on their own little box. So how can leadership teams ensure that their teams across the organizations, like marketing, sales, finance, and so many different ones there, they're all fully aligned and moving together upstream towards a shared goal, rather than just sitting in their own little box? Because, again, I think the arrival of AI makes me think that things are improving, but there's a lot of work to be done still, right?
A massive amount of work to be done. And the biggest piece of advice I can give is go find your RevOps leader. And if they are not that partner for you, get them to be your partner or make a change, because that is exactly the role we're supposed to provide. My biggest KPI for myself and my team is, this is going to sound funky, it is the hardest question for me to answer, of what is the primary KPI of a RevOps team. It is hard. It is nebulous. And the biggest one for me is, am I in conversations? Do people trust me? Are they actually coming to me to discuss the issue, not just a solution, so we're all co-creating together? That starts breaking down those silos. And if that's happening across an organization, the majority of meetings that I sit in are cross-departmental, which is, like, that's how it should be run at the end of the day. That is what's most important, is to keep those lines of communication open, because the moment the walls go up, that's when everything starts breaking down, because especially in the revenue motion, it is a full team activity. Marketing can't do it alone. Sales can't do it alone. Customer success teams cannot do it alone. If they are all operating in silos, you're operating inefficiently, and it's a poor customer experience at the end of the day. If we're actually driving on a unified message and a unified purpose to help the customer, that is what makes a difference. It makes better client relationships. And every single tech company I talk to is dealing with retention issues. Every budget is being constrained. Everyone is trying to get more and more out of each dollar they spend. And that retention aspect is so critical, and it takes a full team focus and actually unified data to understand where those customers sit. And that is the exact goal of RevOps, is to help with that layer to bring everyone on the same page.
And I'm curious, if we were to zoom out for a moment and look at the cybersecurity firms that achieved sustainable growth and compare those with those that struggle in such a competitive and fast-moving industry, what's the difference there? Any trends you're noticing around that?
Yes. So I think one of the most important things is, do you have the right data in front of the right people at the right time? That is our mission at Clary, is to run revenue with the best insight. That's what cybersecurity companies take advantage of when they use a company like Clary, is if your field teams have to go into all these different systems to find things, reps just won't do it. It's not how they operate. They want to go to a single place, get what they need, and go talk to the customer and make a difference. If they've got to switch between this dashboard and this dashboard, and then go over there to this system, and then compile all that together, they just don't do it. It's that simple. So the vantage point of what we're able to bring as Clary is we can bring all that together in a single view and help actually prioritize that rep's day. We focus a lot on, and this is what these companies are taking advantage of, is helping companies design cadence motions that look at, here's what we're trying to achieve as a business. These are our top three big objectives. Everything needs to be painted in service of those objectives. And you know, when you log into a platform like Clary, that's exactly what's shown in front of you. This is the data you need to go move the needle on those objectives. Everything is clean. It is good. That is what you can trust. Go. And so it simplifies their day and they can spend more time with the customer, not more time researching all these different things across all these disparate tools.
And if we dig a little bit deeper on that, just to try and give anyone listening a real valuable takeaway on this, can you offer maybe a general overview on how some of these companies have implemented operational strategies that not only support growth, but also enhance their overall security posture? Again, it's something that every organization is almost chasing. I just wondered if there are any examples of people that have got it right that you've seen.
Yes. So, you know, in with Okta, and this is within the case study that we've done with them, they're looking very much at a balanced pipeline. Yeah. How do you move things through the funnel efficiently and scalably? And that is requires unification across the sales team, the marketing team, the customer success team. And how do we reduce the manual guesswork on what each of those transition points are and actually put that into a true process so the data is flowing, the reps are flowing, and they're actually getting in front of those customers with the right information at the right time. That's what Clary ultimately provides, is that single layer. And so we actually have everyone in the same pane of glass. No longer is marketing coming to the meeting with, this is what we're seeing, and sales coming to the meeting, and this is what we're seeing over here, and CS coming and saying, this is what we're seeing over here. They're all coming to the same place. So it's the conversation at these strategy meetings becomes far less about whose data is right. Again, 67% of revenue leaders don't trust their data. Let's take that off the page. Let's just agree that this data is right because we're all using the same data. That sounds like such a simple concept, but it is unique. So many companies don't achieve that, and they spend their effort debating the data, not debating what to do about the data that they can trust. That's what our mission is, to move companies from a place that they're debating the data to, let's actually talk about the decision. That's what matters. Let's talk about that so we're making the right decision to stay ahead of the curve. And in particular, in Okta's example, like that balanced pipeline, how we're flowing deals through the pipeline, that level of efficiency, the more you can drive the efficiency up, the more return you can drive to the cash profile of the company and put into that investment to stay ahead of the curve from a cybersecurity threat perspective.
And earlier in our conversation, we mentioned the silo as well. And just to hammer home that point, as cybersecurity threats become more advanced, how important is it that cross-departmental collaboration within security firms, how important is that? And how does operational alignment actually contribute to that overall resilience that we're talking about here today?
A massive amount. As I think about it from a buyer perspective, and especially in the cybersecurity industry, how you get in front of your customers matters. That level of perception in terms of, is my vendor on top of it? When something happens, are they on top of it that I don't have to worry, because that's why I'm paying the best of breed cybersecurity vendors, because I trust them. They've got it. That level of communication with your client base, and especially when a particular threat happens, how do you actually know who to go talk to? Who do you need to go be proactive with? That requires data. That requires alignment between all of those marketing, sales, CS teams. That requires alignment between them all, and that isn't started in the root of the data. So if your revenue operations team actually has all that flowing, when things happen, you can pinpoint, here are the top 20, top 40, I'm making up numbers here. This is who I need to go talk to immediately. Here's the messaging that I need to go put in front of that team to communicate, go. If you can reduce that time frame, your level of perception and are you on it increases in that client's eyes. So, you know, it's a key place that we can play, is really getting information again into the right person at the right time so they can make the right decision. That's what we're trying to do. Then that drives up your level of efficiency across the board.
So if we dare to look a little further ahead, we've already got one eye on 2026 already. What operational trends or indeed innovations do you think is going to be critical for cybersecurity firms and enterprises across multiple industries as they all try to aim to maintain that competitive edge in the evolving threat landscape? And we are, 20 minutes into a tech podcast. We've not mentioned AI yet. Maybe that's where you're going to go. Maybe it isn't. But any advice around that?
Sure. It is. It is the AI lens. The elephant in the room. It is changing the game and everything, but I would put a different spin on it. So shockingly, like I actually call myself an AI skeptic, which is kind of crazy. And it puts me in a very unique box. But the one reason I put myself in that category is data is not clean. It is not structured. And the vast majority of tech companies, it's kind of a mess, which is crazy. And that's where I can't get it into my head. And I'll give you a perfect example. So much in the revenue operations space comes off of what are, you know, annual contract values, in particular in the tech sector. If I go look into my CRM instance, I probably have 10 to 20 fields that are have ACV in the title. I do not know of an AI platform that is going to be able to go and tell me this is a right one to use. I know that for what use case as a provider, but how on earth is a platform going to come in and say, oh yeah, this is the right one? It doesn't happen. And that level of complexity in the backend data that exists from a business operations perspective hasn't been solved. We are trying to solve that, but it takes a lot of grit and work. And that is the component where it is the most unsexy thing on the planet. No one gets applause in the board meeting for saying, yay, we are going to clean up our data backend and make it better than it was before. No executive on the planet wants to talk about that. But the conversation is, what are we doing with all these AI tools? And that's where I pose the question to a lot of the clients I talk to is, you need to get there. But at some point, we need to have the adult conversation in the room that I can't take advantage of all this AI capability unless I have good data to feed the AI. And yes, that is not enticing. No one wants to go do all that grueling work, but it is required. And the moment the companies, and this is what I think is really going to separate the companies in 5 years from now, who really just scale and sail versus the companies that are keep trying to get ahead of the curve. If you actually do that hard, completely unsexy work, and then you put AI on top of that, well, wow, then I can actually really trust the insights coming out of that AI model. And that is going to fuel my team versus the other company who is sitting there saying, we put this AI in place, but we're feeding it with all this conflicting data. And yeah, it's not really giving us a return we were expected. No one wants to do that type of work, but I think it is the most critical piece. And the companies that actually do that and put in the grueling effort to get really great, clean, structured and unstructured data sets to feed those AI models, they're the ones that are going to take advantage. And those are the ones that are really going to scale much faster than the competition. And that takes a pretty serious conversation at the executive level, because again, no one wants to talk about it. But that's why I call myself an AI skeptic. And the companies that prove me wrong, I will be the biggest AI evangelist. And part of our mission at Clary is to enable that. That is, we want to feed it with our models with the best data from across the revenue spectrum, not just the CRM, but revenue data exists everywhere. It exists in your product. It exists in your finance systems. It exists in your CS systems, your marketing systems. How do you bring all that together to feed the AI models with the best available data? Because that's what's going to drive performance in the future.
And I think that is a very powerful point to end our conversation. So thank you so much for sitting down with me today, sharing your insights that were also picked up after earning your stripes of years in the industry. And I would imagine you've got more than a few war stories under your belt during your career. I've got to ask, is there a funny or interesting story that you can shape from that? If you look back at your career, I'm sure there's a few you can and more than a few you can't, but is there anything you can leave us with?
There is, and this is the weirdest story to tell, I always say, before I actually tell it. When I started my career in consulting, I was fresh out of college, fresh out of university, and was sitting in the bullpen, and I was working on a model for one of our clients. I did not want to make an assumption to save my life. I kept saying, oh, no, I need to know this before I can put this in here. If I am not truly confident in it, how could I write this into this model? And my partner at the consulting firm at the time came over, stood me up. This is horrifying, and I would never do this to anyone, but it is the most influential moment of my career. Stood me up and just berated me for 10 minutes. The consulting way. But the last thing he said to me is what stands out most vividly, which was, if you cannot make an assumption and start blazing the trail for the future, you are of no value to me. Get out. And no. I sat down. Yes. And it is the most impactful thing that anyone has said to me in my career, because no one has all the answers. We live in an ambiguous and ever-changing world. And my inflexibility at that time completely shifted. And where I've driven success in my career is because there's no playbook for this. There is no best in class paper to say, this is exactly what we need to be doing. We've got to go write that. And that takes an insane amount of ambiguity. And every, in particular for my, like the function that I espouse for in revenue operations, if you are not comfortable with that ambiguity, get out. That's all it is on an every single day. That is what we're doing, is to try to say, let's put our best foot forward. And you're going to fail. I fail all the time. We're going to run into walls. And it's how you pick yourself back up and use those learnings to say, I've learned from that. Let's go do this instead. And that continuous assumption process is what keeps us going. So as much it is like this, like crazy time to call back on, it is the most informative part that still sticks with me to this day, because the future is going to be ambiguous. There's no doubt about that. How do we go take advantage of it and actually blaze the path forward? That's where all the fun lies in at the end of the day.
100% with you there. Oh, wow. What a great story to finish on. And for anyone listening wanting to dig a little bit deeper on anything we've discussed today, maybe they want to reach out, find out more about your work or contact you or your team. What's the best starting point for everything?
Absolutely. Please reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm just John Quealy on LinkedIn. There's not that many of the Q names out there, so hopefully easy to find at Clary. And also feel free to visit clary.com to learn about what we're doing in the space and how we're advancing our Run Revenue mission. But yes, please reach out. This is, again, most RevOps teams don't get to be externally facing. I am very lucky to be. So I love talking to customers, to prospects, to founders, if they're like, what do I need to go do as I'm starting to think about this? Because at the end of the day, if you can make a few smart decisions early on in the company, that will scale. If you start duct taping everything together, it's just going to cost you more money to take all that duct tape off and put something else in. So the smarter decisions you can make earlier will only help your company scale. And that's the name of the game today, is how do you scale efficiently and fast?
It really is. So thank you so much for coming on, sharing your insights into the challenges that many of these top cybersecurity companies have been facing, the solutions that they've implemented, and how operational resilience and innovation remain critical to sustaining that fight against an increasingly sophisticated range of cyber threats. I'd love to hear more about what people listening think. Let's get RevOps back into the mainstream, Al. Let's open that conversation. But just thank you for starting it today.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Neil. This has been a blast.
So for manual processes to misaligned teams, the obstacles facing modern revenue operations are as familiar as they are solvable. But as John so clearly pointed out today, fixing the back end isn't just a tech project. It's a leadership decision. And the organizations that put in that hard, unsexy work of cleaning and unifying their data, they're the ones that are going to be ready to fully harness AI and in turn accelerate their growth and build the operational muscle that cybersecurity demands. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But I know it is not as simple as I've just made it sound. So what about you and your organization? Are you still debating the data in meetings? Are you actually using it to make decisions? And how is your RevOps function shaping strategy rather than chasing after it? Love to hear your thoughts. Please, let's keep this conversation going. Techblogwriteroutlook.com, LinkedIn, X, Instagram, just at Neil C. Hughes. Love to hear your thoughts on this one. A big thank you to John for bringing this topic to life here. I think his passion and enthusiasm for it really helped bring it to life. So, John, I will be looking forward to meeting you, whether it be in the US or UK at some point in the near future. And I've taken up far too much of your time. So speak to you soon.